Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Luxury cruise ships are offering pirate hunting cruises to customers. In these cruises, instead of being victims of pirates, people pay around $5,700 per day to sail near Somalia on heavily armed private yachts. They hope to attract the attention of real pirates. When the pirates approach, the armed passengers on these yachts open fire with weapons like grenade launchers, machine guns, and rocket launchers. The yachts also come with bodyguards who are said to be a group of former Special Forces soldiers. For an extra $20 per day, passengers can even use an AK-47 with 100 rounds of ammunition.
I'm taking donations. If you'd like to send in 20, 30 bucks, we'll send Carl over there. He probably needs a little bit of practice.
Well, I tell you what, the rich people will do whatever they need to do for kicks, isn't it?
I imagine the pirates recognized what they're up to, and they probably shy away from those trips.
Good morning, Mr. Nick. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest, everybody. Nick, how was your week, sir?
Well, you know, I went to the Banff Film Festival at the Cascade Theater.
Gotcha.
$25 a ticket, so I went over to the ticket booth right next door and bought three tickets. It came out to $97.50. I said, why is it so high? Well, there's a $7.50 service fee.
On each ticket?
On each ticket. That amounts to the cost of a ticket for three of them.
Nick, you can't lie to our people. Inflation is going down. Don't try to put propaganda into this. It's going down.
Well, a couple years ago, the last time I bought a ticket, it was a $2 fee. But what gets me is that thing was rebuilt almost exclusively with taxpayer grant money. They're getting it rent free. They've got volunteers there selling the tickets. What do they need a service fee for?
Couldn't tell you. I don't work there. But I do have good news, Nick. After hearing that last story, we should all eat Pop-Tarts. We'll make it to 97. That's what that guy who developed it, he lived in 97, so they must be health food.
Oh, boy. Talk about sugar.
Well, Nick, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, and I've missed your whiny, squeaky voice. So what are we going to hit the folks up with today?
Well, let's pick on Mary Rickard. I've got a clip coming up. She and Kevin Cry had a little dust off at the supervisors meeting, two or three meetings ago. I wanted to get to it last time, and we didn't get to it. So this is kind of shows you how she's maybe not in a loop mentally as much as you would think she is. Let's go with that clip, Christina.
It's now law. It's passed as a law. Then we cannot hand count unless you have less than 1,000 voters. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we're kind of watching the fountain wind a little bit as well. Very, very similar. Very similar.
No, it's not similar at all. It's not similar at all.
Okay.
It's not even close.
Okay. Okay.
It's not even close.
Yes, sir.
So that's where Kevin cut it off. I wish he would have explained. The way that it's similar is when it came to hand counting, the state stepped in after the fact and passed a law that we can't hand count. We have to have machines. As far as the wind project goes, the wind turbines up on Hatchet Mountain, the state stepped in after we put down our foot and said none in Shasta County. They took over and said that the state has the authority to put them in, and they want to put them in. And Mary can't seem to make the connection there.
Nick, it's completely different. Exactly the same principles, but it's completely different. I don't know how, but apparently Mary, just so you guys know, that means that Mary is very big pro-state, not pro-Shasta County. And again, remember, folks, on this Kevin Cry recall, which hopefully is dead, dying, and will get defeated, the reality is every poll that has been done says 7 out of 10 Americans do not trust our voting systems. Period. 7 out of 10. So go into the store, look around, find 10, put 7 to one side. They do not trust the voting systems, whatever they may be. And we were just basically going back to what worked for over 200 years. And the folks who are doing all the recall stuff have been lying through their teeth. They said it's millions of dollars. They said that Kevin pretty much acted alone is what it's getting would sound like on those radio clips and stuff. And it's no. I mean, I am glad they got rid of it. Why does my vote not count, and why does your vote not count, Nick?
I guess we didn't go to college. Well, I guess you did.
I did. Yeah, I bought my degree, dang it.
I think that's what most of the recall people did, too, because they're not too bright. But, you know, the thing with Mary is, this is nonpartisan, they claim, for a supervisor.
It's always nonpartisan when it comes from the liberal side, yes.
And she claims she's a Republican, though she always votes liberal. And she claims she's a fiscal conservative. So does Susan Barrymore, a fiscal conservative. Well, what is a fiscal conservative?
Well, you know, it's funny is when I was on with Carl and Linda this month, Linda asked me, do you consider yourself a conservative? I said, an extreme conservative. And by that, I want small government. Stay out of my bedroom. Leave our kids alone and let us just do our jobs and get out of regulations. That's what a conservative fiscal is. Don't tax me to death and don't give it to people who didn't earn it.
Okay, so here's Mary. She voted to give Kathy Darling Allen a $40,000 raise a couple years ago. She voted to give Eric McGraney a $32,000 raise and create a new job for him, a job that didn't exist, assistant CEO. Speaking of Eric, he's still drawing a paycheck. I would wager it's around $15,000 a month, and he's not working. He hasn't been working for, I don't know, 7 or 8 months.
Well, that's the example of that spiking policy that government employees get to enjoy. They wait till the last 3 years, and then they load up, and then they get to use that for their pension.
And our fiscal conservative, she voted that all in.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
She also voted to help lock us down, and she believed in the health officer that wouldn't listen to anybody who didn't want to wear a mask, didn't want to inject the kids. So that's Mary Rickards. That's who she is. She's not a conservative.
You people up there in Fall River and MacArthur area and Burney area, this is your representative. You need to pay attention. Wynn Carpenter would be a much better choice, in my opinion.
I would agree with that there, Nick, and I don't agree with you hardly on anything.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's why we get along so well.
We're like an old married couple.
That's right. Well, you know, Carl had a very interesting show. I believe it was Thursday. He had Jason Miller on and a guy named, what was his name? Clark was his last name. And he owns a sign shop on North Pacelli Lane, kind of across from where the old Denny's used to be.
Oh, yes, yes. I read that thing that you sent to me, yeah.
Within one block of Cypress Street. And we're going
to... Well, I should listen. I listened to it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did, because it's very interesting what's going on. And then what's more interesting is what the city's telling us that's going on that isn't going on.
Yep, I know. That clip was pretty illuminating.
How about it? Have we got clip number one? Christina,
yeah.
Is it?
I don't. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So when I, a police officer one time on the many calls that I have to make to RPD, and they're great. The officers that have responded to me have helped me out of some really bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling concerned about my safety, he gave me a pointer, a tip. He goes, I can't say who, and I can't tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
But the city council gave permission for that hotel to belong to a state-run program to temporarily house recovering drug addicts and parolees. And that's all I can tell you.
This is what the officer said.
This is what the officer said. So I've been very watching that place like a hawk since I found out the information, because it explained why I have so many drug criminals in my area.
Now, what you got to remember is... that was a while back when that happened. I would wager that Kristen Schrader was on the council then, and she is all pro-homeless. Let's get all the homeless we can around here. So he just said that they voted on it. It's a state program sending it to us, and yet you go talk to Jack Munns is the latest one. Every police chief I've talked to, almost every city councilor I've talked to, and I'm telling them that I'm seeing out-of-town homeless come to town. They're the constantly, oh, well, no, that's not true. All the homeless are local people here. Show me a picture of a bus. Why can't somebody get a picture of a bus and show it to us?
Well, I did. I have a picture of a bus, but it wasn't homeless. Well, for all I know, it might have been homeless, but I can guarantee it was illegal immigrants being shuttled right through our community. I took the pictures. I said it at Carl Bott, and I said it on our show last time, in that there was a bus with Mexican license plates stopped at the Walmart. I happened to follow it into the parking lot, and I took pictures of it. And then I went to the front of the bus, and fortunately, I guess it wasn't a cartel, or they would have shot me up. But I looked into it, and the front seat was taken with mom and two little rugrats, and they were not the tourist type. And that's not a racist thing. It's just simply the fact you could tell they did not have a lot of money, so they weren't up here touring around. So that was going through ready, and then the lady, the one who testified, you played the clip last time about she had to pick up a friend at night by I believe it was Dutch Brothers, and she said there was a white bus, and everybody coming from off that bus was from San Francisco, and they were homeless. So she gave testimony to the Board of Supervisors. So why would people say that that's not happening?
And I talked to Schuller. In fact, I sent Schuller, Police Chief Schuller, who's retired now, the clip, so he could watch the clip. And he said they can't run her down. They can't find her, and to confirm it.
Well, she said she owned a building. I don't think it would be that hard.
Well, it was too hard for them. But they don't want to admit it. It's the same old excuses. You know, Jack Munns, he gave me the same thing. I talked to him when he was leaving a air quality control meeting, and I said, I see him, and I kind of cornered him. I says, you're law enforcement. You notice him. And, well, yeah, you know, and away he went. The next time I see him, he says, well, you know, we've got to have some proof. This, you know, get a picture or something. Everybody's saying this, but it never happens. I'll wager Jack Munns knows all about when Reno was sending their derelicts over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, the problem is with law enforcement is, you know, they walk that fine line between what they know and what they're allowed to say if they want to keep their job. And so I can tell you I have clients who are cops, and what they tell me in a friend-to-friend confidential conversation is 100% different than what they would tell you if you asked them in their police uniform, because they can't. They can't just say that stuff, because then it's going to go, Officer X told me Y, and that's going to get back to the chief or the sheriff or whatever. And so off the record, they'll tell you everything. On the record, they've got to be that, you know, toe in the line kind of a thing.
It's kind of comical when you figure that out, isn't it?
No, it's the problem is, as America goes into the crap hole, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm going to beat the table on this. The difference between us and tyranny is going to come down to cops and the military. No time in history, human history, has tyranny ever happened without cops and without the military. Because cops will choose most of the time, and if there's cops listening, I'm talking to you. Cops will choose their paycheck over their country almost every time. I mean, look what happened in COVID. They were you know, going and harassing people without a mask, for crying out loud. Nothing in the Constitution gave them the authority to do that. No law, nothing passed. And, I mean, that's just here locally. I mean, nationwide and around the world, cops were the heavy hand of the tyrannical government. So the cops need to stop having this. Let's toe the line. And these people need to start standing up going, this is wrong. Our community, our taxpayers, the people who support us and wave to us as we – because I guarantee you, when I see a cop and you see a cop, we wave with the full hand. When a homeless person or an illegal sees them, they wave with one finger. Start supporting the people with the full hand. Start supporting us.
Well, you know, when they figure out that the coffers are broke, that we don't have money to pay them anymore, they see our car economy collapsing, maybe they will switch sides.
Well, that's the problem. That's when the
maybe not switch sides. Pick our side.
Well, pick our side. That's really what I'm saying. Just stick to the Constitution. If you stick to the Constitution, the thin blue line will always remain. Always. You do the same crap you did during COVID, but now under a Newsom leadership or a Biden leadership or, hell, even Trump leadership, and you do that again, because let's not forget it was Trump who locked us down. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. He locked us down, and everybody followed. Now, he got really bad advice, and he was surrounded by a bunch of piranhas. I get that, but he still was commander-in-chief, and there was enough evidence out there. So getting back to cops, stick to the Constitution, folks, and we'll love you to death.
But, we got another clip.
I know. I'm just sitting looking at your face, and you're just totally rolling your eyes at me. It's like we're dating.
Yeah. And you're the female. Go ahead.
Here for 30 years, it's an area where people live and all this. And what he says is the Red Line Suites in Motel 6, which is across the road, mm-hmm. has been repurposed as a place for recovering addicts and people on parole to live.
Yes.
And that so. The state is paying the owner of the hotel $1,700 a month per room.
Yep.
And there's no supervision.
None.
And it's causing a tremendous problem for them.
Now, I've observed health care services going over there and giving them health care.
Okay.
And in the 6 months that I've been really watching what's going on over there, I've seen a state probation truck. It was a big white SUV. It said state probation. I've only seen probation officers there once. One time.
Well, they may have come by other times that you didn't see it. But still, you know, but you're looking at it across
it's
the street.
Okay, now take into consideration the motels on North Market Street. One just a block up here. There's two of them up here. I drive by there. I see people sitting out there in lawn chairs. They've got their own little group over there. They don't even take the chairs in. I'll wager those motels are being rented.
Well, I can speak to this area where this gentleman is talking about. My office, real estate, is right around the corner behind View 202. And there is not a single day. I'm in the office 2 to 4 days a week, depends if I'm coming down from Shingletown or not. And I can guarantee you every single day and every single time I go up Bocelli to go to my office, there are homeless. This guy is seeing how bad it is, and it is literally that bad.
They're not homeless. We're renting motels for them. There's motels south of town. Used to be the Capri.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a couple little places in between, just past the Capri. They're all loaded up. We call them homeless. They're not homeless. They got a place to stay. They just go out and vandalize and steal at night and during the day. They're not staying there all day.
Well, what's funny is they should go and talk to San Francisco and New York, because San Francisco in particular took over, like, I think it's 3 or 4 downtown hotels and threw their homeless population in there. And I think it was after a year and millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, they pretty much had physically destroyed all the hotels. And now the city's on the hook for refurbishing the hotels after putting homeless people in the hotels.
I talked to a gal the other day, and she works for HHS, and she told me that 80% of the homeless that they house thrash the place and are back in the streets, back on the streets in a year because they don't want to be housed.
Well, it's, you know, the thing is, you know, the old give a fish to a man or teach him to fish. If they don't have any skin in the game, it doesn't matter. I mean, anybody who's had rentals, I mean, I've had some rentals in my career. You know, you get somebody, and we really worked hard with our tenants to make sure that the place was taken care of. But I can tell you, I've sold a lot of houses where the tenants have gone in and cost tens of thousands of dollars. It's not theirs. They don't care. Homeless take that to an extreme.
Especially when HUD's paying rent. They're not even paying the rent. Let's hear that third clip.
And how easy and cheap they are to obtain. 90% of this problem would go away. And the 10% that's left, we have the resources to handle it. It's a drug trafficking problem.
Yeah. It's not a homeless problem.
It's a drug problem.
It's a drug problem.
This drug problem is getting
Nick,
bad.
Good morning. I got a minute.
If you eliminate the drugs, they'll all go to alcohol. In my opinion, you need to cut off the source of these homelessness, and it's people coming from out of the area. I've seen, I've had people tell me that they have witnessed buses from the San Francisco Bay Area and Sacramento dropping homeless off here in Redding. Have you guys had any of those experiences?
Yeah, I've witnessed.
Yeah, I've personally witnessed it.
Yeah, I've witnessed, get this, you get ready to hear this news. I saw a CHP cruiser pull off an I-5 behind the Comet gas station across the street from my shop. I happened to be looking out the window when he did it. What gets out of the cruiser? 2 homeless drug people. He opens up the back of the cruiser, gets out all their bags of crap, and he hands them 2 pieces of paper. Those are vouchers. And those homeless druggies took their stuff and marched up to the Motel 6. That's the CHP.
It's my opinion that they're dropping out-of-town homeless off 2 or 3 times a week here in Redding. I see them every day, so I think we need to cut that off.
Well, you know what? You're right, and it's because I call them newbies. I will train the local drug addicts in my neighborhood with my horn, and they understand that they're not allowed to be on my block, and they stay away because a drug addicted person is choosing a path of least resistance in their life. So if they meet resistance and you stand up for yourself and you stand up for what's right, they don't like that.
Let's cut they're that off, Christina. I guess I missed the clip where Jason Miller down at Miller's Deli said that he talked to 2 Haitians that had just come across the border that were in his parking lot down there.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Well, I do know that right behind the sign guy's office, because I drove by it all the time, I believe for sure at least one building, two buildings might have burned to the ground. And I'm willing to bet money, and they were vacant buildings to the best of my knowledge. So my bet is that they probably got in there, started a fire, and it burned it to the ground.
Two of them?
I think there was two of them behind his place. They were right by the gas station there. Was it Gingras?
Hey, they burned out Pop's place, that drive-in south of town.
Oh, really?
Razzalicious up on Lake Boulevard shut down because she didn't feel like her employees were safe anymore. That's right next to Rayleigh's up there. And Lithia Chevy, probably a lot of people don't know this, just one block south of where Hartnell crosses Bocelli on the east side, there was a big old vacant lot up there, and Lithia Chevy bought it. They leveled it out. They did a wonderful job, put gravel in. I'm not sure it might be paved. I think it's gravel. Put a 6 or 7 foot cyclone fence with razor wire around it so they could park their excess vehicles down there. Well, they didn't last 6 months because the fence was getting cut, and they were stealing tires off the vehicles, and people were walking by and breaking windshields. And that's just some of the things that they have caused in our community. And I don't call them homeless. I call them criminals.
Well, they are criminals. They're absolutely criminals. I would hazard a guess. I'm going to speak out of turn here, but I would hazard a guess that if you actually did, you rounded them all up so you could round every single homeless person up, I would hazard a guess 95% of them have criminal records, if it's not even 100%.
I'm with you. Let me read you this. Everybody needs to go to the city council meeting at 6 o'clock Tuesday. The city council is providing an encampment resolution funding program grant in an amount not to exceed $3 million as a secured, forgivable loan with a term that begins with the issuance of a building permit and ends 3 years after the opening date of the Day Resource Center operating in accordance to city council approved operations. They accepted a broker's opinion on the value of the $875,000 purchase price for the subject properties. I would find that questionable. I would probably want an appraisal. But guess who's getting this?
Good News Rescue Mission.
That's right. And what do they bring to the table?
So they're getting a $3 million grant, which is a key word for
it's
gift.
It's a loan.
Oh, it's a loan. You said grant.
Well, it comes from a grant. It comes from the homeless encampment grant, $8.4 million that the city of Reading got.
Yeah.
And they decided they need to build a welcome center, is what I would call it, a day use center for the homeless.
Why don't we have a law-abiding tax-paying grant? Something that lets us all buy a gun or something.
How about a glass replacement grant?
Oh, there you go. That's another one. Or a barbed wire around your house grant. I mean, that's... We keep throwing money at the same problem, and it keeps getting worse, and we keep throwing more money at it. Where is the logic in that?
Where every city up and down the West Coast has a daycare center for them.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing the same thing every other city does, except we're welcoming their derelicts in here.
Yep.
And we think we're going to cure the problem. And they're not doing them any good, so they've got a day place. They still got to go sleep in the elements.
That's true. That's true. And if you're lucky, it's, you know, your business, your front door, your parking lot. Maybe they'll break in the gate. I mean, it's all kinds of fun stuff.
You know, I think I mentioned this last time. We are turning into San Francisco. We're turning into a third world country. You drive up and down the streets of Reading, you see people urinating in the corner, if not defecating. You see broken windows. You see trash everywhere. You know, they just cleaned up a homeless camp on my street. And I pick up the street, and what I noticed is there's no trash on the street with the homeless gone.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
They go up to the 7-Eleven quick stop, and they get their stuff, and they finish it just before they get to where they get off the road, and they just throw their garbage on the ground.
Well, what was it? About a month ago, I was going Interstate 5 north off of Cypress, and I turned left. There was a big tent and like five sub-tents between the on-ramp and the freeway. And, I mean, it was there for a couple of days. I'm like, really? This is Redding, California. This is what we've come to. This is America.
You know, that's Caltrans property, and they run the show when it comes to that. You've got different entities. But the bottom line is when they finally run them off public property, they move on to private property, and it's the private property's owner's problem then.
Well, I mean, at least, you know, the liberals here are not quite as stupid as they are up in Seattle. I mean, in Seattle, a homeless person can move onto your front yard, and you can't kick them off. That's a liberal policy. I mean, let that sink in, folks. If you're thinking about this in your front yard, you come out in the morning and there's a homeless person sleeping in your front yard, you don't have the authority to kick them off. So apparently, to resolve that, the folks in Seattle, the common sense ones, I guess, or the liberals who didn't like their own medicine, they turned their sprinklers on all night.
There you go. Or they moved to Reading and changed what they moved from. Okay, we're breaking. We'll be back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hey, Reading, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
Need a cure for the midweek blues? Laughter is the best medicine. Join us in overtime every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for Comedy Night. Enjoy the humor of different comedians every Wednesday. And the weekend is heating up in overtime with karaoke every Thursday and DDJs performing every Friday and Saturday night. So grab your friends, your dancing shoes, and enjoy signature cocktails with no cover charge. See WinRiver.com for the weekly lineup.
Must be 21 to attend.
Find your moment at the river.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
I don't want to bloviate too much because we got some really good clips coming up.
Well, we just went live, so they heard all of that. That was your inside voice, wasn't it?
Are we on?
We are.
Yes, we are. Okay, here's a letter to the editor. A red herring. This is by Patty Valovich. A red herring is defined as something that misleads or distracts from the relevant and important question. It may be either a local philosophy or literary device that leads readers and audience towards a false conclusion. Today, in Shasta County, Kevin Cry has introduced his own version of red herring by claiming that the governor will appoint a replacement should his recall be successful. Actually, we the people will vote for a replacement candidate in November. Yes, Patty, but if, in fact, there is a vacancy on our board, the governor shall, that's what the law says, shall appoint a replacement.
And in the cases where the opportunity arose for the governor, conservative names were given to the governor, and the governor did not appoint anybody.
But that was Glynn County.
I'm saying. So, you know, the opportunity is there that if a certain liberal name came up and was endorsed enough, Comrade Newsom would appoint them with no problem.
Cry has tried to divert attention in hopes folks won't notice that he is not doing the job he campaigned on, such as dealing with taxpayer public safety and homelessness. He chose this strategy because votes he has participated in have wasted taxpayers' money and done nothing to address these issues. Well, as a matter of fact, Patty, Kevin has saved us well over $500,000 with the heart voting machines and axing the continuum of care. And as far as homelessness goes, he is on a board that instigate that discusses with the three cities in Shasta County and the Shasta County supervisors, and they're working towards a mutual agreement instead of everybody doing their own thing. Among the consequences of these votes was the elimination of our election system. We already hit that. In a decision to fix something that wasn't broken, proven in a lawsuit of Dominion's voting systems, won in early 23, CRI had multiple opportunities to make a sound financial choice that would benefit the taxpayers. He did make a sound financial choice. He saved us over $200,000 a year going forward by voting against Dominion. Now, here's the kicker. He also voted on items where he had a clear conflict of interest, another providing unprecedented severance packages totaling over $1 million to new department heads, and another suspending impact fees without examining what effect it may have on the budget of Shasta County Sheriff's Office. The $1 million severance package only applies if they are fired without cause. If they do something wrong and it's a justified firing, they don't get that severance package.
Well, that's weird how that was left off that letter.
Isn't it, though?
That's really weird.
And what about the budget for the sheriffs?
Well, you know what's funny is that's another one of those grand blanket lies from the recall people is when you listen to their TV commercial, they talk about how Kevin Cry has stopped the sheriff to hire blah, blah. Mike Johnson himself on Carl Bott's show said his staffing is growing and getting the best it's probably been in recent memory. And he had at that time on that radio show 12 people in the background phase for adding them to the jail. So they're blatantly lying about what he did or didn't do. And also the thing that's funny is the budget that Kevin's been stuck with for the last 12 months was voted on by Rickards et al. Before Kevin even stepped foot into the chamber. So there's another example of it's what's not said that is the truth, but they're going to put it out there, and then you've got to deal with the blow-up that they've thrown at you.
Here's the parting shot. I urge you to vote yes on a recall, a good first step in restoring stable governance to Shasta County. I don't think we had stable governments to start with.
Well, we had Modi and the henchmen, and they played their parts quite well, and they locked us down, and they ruined our kids, and they ruined our businesses. So let's remember, that's who it was. And in terms of Kathy Darlin Allen, this is a lady, and I can't beat on this enough because it doesn't seem to sink in. This is a lady who last year, as a paid guest, my guess is she got paid because you don't fly halfway around the country or all the way around the country to put on a presentation. On behest of George Soros' funded organization, George Soros, maybe the most evil man walking the planet next to Klaus Schwab, and she, our registrar of voters, went there and did a presentation. You can't make that up, and they still think that she's got integrity.
I'm switching to Matt Plummer.
Please.
Plummer said the majority acts like expanding the jail is a done deal, but other alternatives and how much that could cost need to be considered before making a final decision. We don't want to grow something that isn't working. Well, you know what? Nothing's working right now. I remember 30 years ago when we had plenty of jail space, it was working pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's because we are stuck with stupid liberal laws that says, you know, Prop 47, Prop, what is 109, I guess it is, that we can't lock these people up anyways.
If we release people and we're not setting them up for a successful transition, we are just going to see more repeat offenders. He likes that wheel that Mike Johnson wanted, that $500 million wheel that would run over $1 billion, that wouldn't be ready to go for 10 years. So I think that he thinks things will be just fine. We'll just keep spending money and nothing's going to work. I propose we start with veterans who are homeless. That's what they want to do with housing people. That's Proposition 1. You know, I went to a League of Women Voters forum, and
let you in?
Yeah. I was the only conservative there. The gal that was speaking said, I don't know why veterans are mentioned in this bill, because I talked to the head of the Veterans Administration, and he said, we got plenty of money. We don't need any more money.
No.
They put that on there on every bill to get your vote because you're going to help the veterans. But the veterans claim they don't need any more money.
Well, the Veterans Administration is pretty crappy across the board. I think it got a little bit better under Trump, but they don't do anything good. I mean, they got the thing out off of Knighton Road that apparently looks pretty good, but as a rule, vets have been really let down over the years.
I've been told, I've talked to vets that are just pleased as punch. So
wow.
It just depends on who you talk to.
Well, I think locally we might be okay, but when you see what they do nationally and the problems they got and the health care they're access to, it can be sometimes challenging for them.
Well, yeah, but we need to fix things locally before we move.
Well, yeah, I can't help Washington, D.C. or Seattle, so yeah, I agree.
I believe we need increased inpatient mental health facilities in our county. No kidding, Sherwood. You know, how'd you think of that? That's his platform.
Well, but how do we fund it? Who's paying for all that?
Maybe he can get his church, Bethel, to cover the bill.
Oh, there you go.
Don't forget, he's a Bethelite, and I hear he's financed or mixed up with some Soros-related organizations.
Oh, wow. I don't know about that. So
I can't
comment on that.
I think that'll come out in the later shows.
Oh, okay.
We can only hope. Let's go to the first clip of the second group of clips. This is county. Oh, this is really interesting. This is deals with our voting system. Go ahead.
I would like to advocate for in-person registration for voting, that people in Shasta County would actually come down to the county and register to vote. And do you remember in the old days when you could register to vote in front of a shopping center? Those worked. It was on paper. You signed your name. They looked at your ID. It was good. We need to go to paper poll books, because the electronic poll electronic poll books are being manipulated externally. They're being registrations are being inputted. I didn't write it out. Are being inputted externally, and my proof of that is, back in 2 years ago, I think it was, when we were canvassing, we found a lady who had 5 ballots sent to her house for people who hadn't lived there in years. And she'd been getting them every election since those people moved in there. So a couple of our folks went and visited with her. They took the documents for her to fill out, to say that these people didn't live there anymore, and then they took those documents to the Register of Voters office. Yesterday, she got in the mail 5 voter registration booklets that everybody got for those same 5 people. They were not taken off the rolls. And I find it really hard to believe that Kathy Darling Allen doesn't know that the votes are being put back in.
Okay, that was Margaret Cantrell. She must be about 80 or so. I see her at all the meetings. She's a well-spoken and nice person. And we've got this next clip. We'll start it right now. This is Bev Gray, and she is on the Elections Integrity Committee. And this has to do with false registrations. So let's go with that clip.
I pronounce his name, but there's never been any demands attached to that. There has been demands attached to other money that's come in. Now I want to read some declarations to you, because you say there is no cheating in the voter rolls are good. Okay, we went to a place and there was no such address. It was on Calveras Court. All right, and that person voted. This one is registered at their place of business. It was this guy's old grandfather's place of business, and his grandfather voted, and he died 15 years earlier. Okay, at Mud Springs Bend, this address doesn't exist. Here's another one, Mud Springs Big Bend. That address doesn't exist. Here's another one, Mud Springs. You know, and the thing is no, we didn't go there to canvass. I hear it's not a very good area to go into to canvass. Summit Lake, That address doesn't exist. A Street on MacArthur, this address does not exist. 7th Street, MacArthur, A Street, MacArthur, doesn't exist. Here's another one for Mud Springs, doesn't exist. Here's Summit Lake Road, doesn't exist. Summit Lake Road, doesn't exist. Baker Ranch in Big Bend, doesn't exist. Summit Lake Road, Big Bend, doesn't exist. Bidwell Road, Hat Creek, that one doesn't exist. And these were verified in several different ways. We just didn't take one source. And most of them we went to the place. Okay, this one, Bidwell Creek, is another one.
That's enough. Exist.
My question is, Nick, if they don't exist, how do they get? Where do they send those ballots to? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. Maybe they just dump them on the side of the road.
Well, you know, it's funny is the liberal mantra, because they're unintelligent, is that there's no voter fraud. And yet nationwide, there's more and more cases coming out. People are going to prison for exactly that, a ton of voter fraud. And they keep saying, well, there's never been, up until this last year or so, any kind of case. And every time there is a case, it's almost always the people are found guilty for doing this stuff. And in this case, here we have these people citing fact. And again, that's what Kathy Allen didn't do, was do her job. We got people that are not allowed. There's not anybody there, and they're getting a voting, a registration. How's that work?
Well, okay. There's certainly a lack of transparency there. You would think that she would say, really? Come on in. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's get these voter rolls out. Who can go over to this address and verify it? Who can go here? Let's get this straightened out. That's what we elect somebody to do, have honest elections. Maybe our problem isn't so much the machines, although I still don't trust them.
Nope.
As our elections department.
Our data, you know, computers are data in and data out, and the out is only as good as the data in. And so if the data in is corrupt, the data out is going to be corrupt as well. And so
I think Margaret Cantrell had the right idea. Let's set tables up in front of the supermarkets to register, and same-day voter ID voting.
Yeah. I mean, it worked for 200 plus years. All of a sudden, these liberals are, and here's the best part. The liberals are so dumb that their side bitched and moaned from the Quill.
Christina.
Gore election. And then when Hillary lost, they were the first ones raising their arms and hair was on fire and everything else. But it was okay for them. They didn't trust the election. Everything was bad. It was okay for them. We saw the election get stolen. I am 1,000,000% sure the election got stolen. There's no way Sleepy Joe, sitting in a basement, got elected. He never had anybody show up to his rallies, and yet somehow he won. And here's just an example locally of just easy. I'm sure these people didn't spend a huge amount of time to find out these were bogus addresses.
They spent enough time.
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to skip number three and go to number four. This one's important. Are you ready for number four? Listen to this real carefully. He doesn't have much to say.
Happy Dry Tuesday to you, Board. I want to speak on the Board of Supervisor replacements in California. Gavin Newsom had 7 instances to replace Board of Supervisors in our state. Kevin, your interviews and your ads says Newsom has replaced 5 times. He will do it again, and he will replace him with a liberal Democrat, and this is a power grab. That's what your advertising is. Kevin, the word will, that's what you say, will, expresses certainty, and I don't think you're certain that he can do it, unless you have a tie with him. I'm not sure. The word should be might or can. Expresses possibility. Let's look at the history. October 2020, San Luis Obispo, Gavin Newsom replaced a supervisor with a party for the same party. March 2022, Del Norte, the only time that Governor Newsom replaced a Republican who died in office with a Democrat out of the 5 that you're talking about. September 2022, Ventura County, replaced with a party for same party. December 2022, Santa Barbara County, again, Governor Newsom replaced party for same party. October 2023, Gary Sandy, your Yolo County Board of Supervisor, died in office. Governor Newsom replaced Gary with his wife, Mary Sandy, to replace party for same party. So 4 out of 5 appointments were same party for same party. Only one was a Republican who was replaced by a Democrat. Therefore, 80% of the replacements that Gavin Newsom made were party for party. And on top of that, there were 2 counties that had board supervisor openings, and Newsom did not replace in Glenn or Modoc County. That gets us to 1-7. That's 14% were replaced by a Republican to a Democrat. Mr. Cry, you claimed that recall supporters want you out, and then they can ask the governor to appoint a liberal Democrat to replace you. That is a lie. It's based on your anti-recall Kevin Cry flyers and hats. The recall committee supporters want a true fiscal conservative and a fact-based decision maker to be your replacement. We have asked the governor not to appoint Mr. Cry's replacement, but to let the voters of District 1 decide, and not Sacramento, not Sacramento. Thank you.
Well, to start off with, the law says he shall replace.
Number 2, 3 of those things are our liberal city, town, counties, Santa Barbara, Ventura, and I think the first one you mentioned. So, I mean, that was already a liberal destroyed area, so putting a liberal to destroy it further is even better.
I'm ahead of you on that.
Oh, cool. Wow. Okay, I'm listening.
I called every one of those counties.
Yeah.
Their clerk, and I asked them for the names of the people that were appointed. And the 3 that wouldn't tell me that they were liberal, I went to those people's websites, and they were liberal. So another way to say this is that Gavin Newsom, 100% of the time when he appointed a replacement, it was a liberal.
Yes.
100% of the time when he replaced a Republican, he replaced him with a liberal.
Yep.
Statisticians don't lie, or statistics don't lie. Statisticians do, and that's a good example right there, how they fudge the numbers and...
Well, the great thing about a liberal, Nick?
No, there's nothing.
Okay, good. I just make sure I wasn't the only one that thought that. But the reality is they say this stuff, and they make it sound like it's almost logical, and then you do a little deep dive 1 inch under the surface, and you, like you say, it's not 80% where, you know, same party. No, it's 100% liberal installed. That's the difference.
And the reason he couldn't replace one up in Modoc County, in my opinion, he couldn't find a liberal.
Yeah, because he had. I know that they said they had 6 names given to him up there, and they were all conservative, and so he chose not to.
That was Glenn County.
Oh, was that Glenn County? Okay.
They didn't. He didn't give a reason why he didn't replace anybody in Modoc County. And like I say, there probably isn't a liberal that lives in Modoc County.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably didn't even know where Modoc County is. He's so busy cleaning up San Francisco for that G visit, he wouldn't have a clue what's going up in Modoc.
And then these liberals that are running the recall claim that they want a fiscal conservative. Wouldn't they just like another Mary Rickard on there?
Well, you know, that's the best part about this thing. You know, they say, oh, we're from both parties. I can assure you, if you are a genuine conservative, there is not one thing, not one, that you believe the same as a liberal. Does not exist. There's not one thing that a liberal can tell me they believe in that I also believe in. Period. And so for these people going, oh, you know, we're mixed parties, we're this. No. If you say you identify as a Republican but you're behind this Cry thing, you're a liberal. Don't mince words. That's 100% you're a liberal.
You know, I get the biggest kick out of them referring to us as the alt-right.
Yeah, always. We're far-right. Far-right. Patrick Jones and these are far-right. It's never just conservative.
The fact is, we haven't gone right at all. We've been steadfast the whole time. The left has gone far left.
Far left. But you never see that. You never see them say the far left Mary Rickards, the far left, who's the other, the Garmin. They never say it because, of course, they identify, you know, I guess they can be trans politicians. They identify as Republican. But the reality is their policies, what they voted on, how they do it, they always turn left. So if you're anywhere one step to the right of the left, you're far right.
That's right. You know, and what do we want? We want smaller government, follow the Constitution, and fiscal responsibility.
That's it. And Kevin, I think Kevin has done what he promised to do.
Absolutely, he has.
And again, this is just a little newsflash. If there's a liberal listening, there may or may not be. Why is your vote saying that we should have kept him more important than mine and Nick, or Nick and I, if we're going to do proper English from my college days, than Nick and I saying we didn't trust him and we're happy that those machines are gone? Why is your vote and your say more important than ours? That's what they can never answer, ever, ever.
Well, you know, what I'd like an answer to is why every news media besides us in Shasta County hasn't said one good word about Kevin Cry. Not one.
They're underwritten by George Soros people. I mean, George Soros has been buying up all the media throughout the United States and the world. So even the Record Searchlight, and you go back to the octopus veins, you'll find that there's a George Soros connection. So they've got to toe the company line as with the TV. I mean, they're not going to give Kevin Cry one positive word.
And about this guy that was just giving you his statistics, he missed a county, Lake County, appointed party to party, liberal to liberal.
Yeah.
So that makes eight. That's six that he appointed in.
If he was in the major leagues, he'd be in the Hall of Fame with that kind of a stat.
You read Dave Benda, he leads you to believe that there was just a couple counties that he appointed in. This doesn't happen very often.
Does anybody read Dave Benda anymore?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. He is suspect.
Yeah. Yeah. He is very suspect. I remember when I was president of the Association of Realtors, he would interview me, and I'd give him what I saw, what was going on. Then I'd read the article, and I'm like, who did he interview? Who the heck did he interview? It wasn't exactly what I said, nor in the way that I said it. So it's just funny, Nick. You know, kudos to you that you did the research after the fact, because that guy's up there bloviating about, you know, it's 14% chance. No, really, you're right. You hit it on the head. It's a 100% liberal installed people from Governor Newsom, and the fact that you think it's going to be different here, you're delusional. If he gets the ability to do it, and they provide him a liberal name, I promise you, that's the one that's going in on the third on that seat.
Oh yes,
absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, I don't know if they even have to give him a name. I think he can just appoint.
Oh really?
Yes.
Oh wow. Well, I'm sure that he has a very big Rolodex.
Like I'm sure they've got a straight line to the governor.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know,
Podunk Redding, California has got a straight line to Governor Newsom, who's got his own makeup artist that follows him around while he's pumping for the presidency.
Well, you know, and it's funny is there's an ad out there talking about this Kevin Cry recall, and they talk about, well, the governor, you know, he's got bigger things on his mind like Los Angeles and San Francisco and China. Those are all absolute disasters. That's what they're saying is his strength, is the fact that he's out there doing that and he doesn't have time to think about Redding, California. I can assure you, Redding, California is a watershed. If we do and keep conservatism here, it will spread. It will definitely spread throughout the state, and the cancer that is liberalism will start to die off.
Well, one can only hope.
God, well, I mean,
he certainly doesn't want to run on his job here in California, does he?
Has he ever done a job this way? I mean, San Francisco became even worse under him. So now they've got it here at the state with behind Brown and now him. He has nothing, no accomplishment of note that is positive to the country or the state that he can run on. But that doesn't matter to a liberal. He's pretty.
So, you know, Redding got that $8.4 million homeless encampment grant. And I think that they should do something to benefit the victims more than the homeless. And one thing would be to put porta potties around town, like over at Shasta Center, where Dairy Queen is. That place, the owner has to go spray off the corners every morning because they're urinating in the corners or defecating over in the bushes. If it is raining, they go over the overhang that protects the entrance to the businesses. Why couldn't they put a porta potty there?
Well, and that would be
a wash station.
That would
boost. And there's numerous places. I imagine over at Target Center they could use one.
Walmart they could use one. I mean, that's actually not a bad idea, Nick. Use some of that money and let's boost the local economy with a local company, Welch's, for example, or Brown's. I don't care who they use, and clean up. At least give these people a place other than your front door.
Absolutely.
That's not a bad idea. You actually have a good idea, Nick.
Oh, I've had good ideas, too, but they just make excuses. I think they ought to get big circus tents, about four of them, and so they can get out of the weather.
Well, there you go. But who, where are we going to put them, and who's going to be next to?
Well, we can put one down at Burleiser, one up on the old Benton dump up there. Maybe enough methane's coming out. When they light up their crack pipe, it'll blow up.
Leave it to Nick to bring in blowing stuff up on a radio show. Well, Nick, it looks like it's time for our show to end, and we'll be back in 2 weeks, folks. Stay dry. Thanks.
Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.